You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, my friends, one and all, welcome to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, August the 30th, and I'm coming to you live, as I do every Saturday night, from our flagship radio station in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network in select markets across the country, but simulcasting around the world this evening via the internet, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Welcome again, one and all. And we have got to boogie tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because we spent, and rightfully so, 3 full hours last week on the ongoing events in Ferguson, Missouri. It was a three-hour bonanza with yours truly and Keith Alexander focusing on a single topic for the entire show. Rarely does that happen, but certainly last week it was warranted. And we will continue tonight with coverage of Ferguson, although we're not going to be beginning with that. But when we do get back on the topic, we're going to be doing so with a heavy hitter, the one and only Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance, who wrote one of, in my opinion, definitive pieces on this saga, will be with us at the top of the second hour as this evening's featured guest. Between now and the end of the program, we're going to be covering a lot of news items, and we'll be hearing from a lot of people, myself, Keith Alexander, Winston Smith, of course, our guest, Jared Taylor, Scoop Stanton, and Sam Bushman. If we can work all of that in 3 hours, I will be very, very excited and very surprised. You know, with live radio, when you got that many moving parts, one of them is bound to break. But we'll see if we can get all of those men on the same show in the same three-hour time span. But it's all coming your way tonight. I want to say one thing as we kick off this evening's broadcast, and we had posted word of this at our website a few days ago. I had, ladies and gentlemen, just a wonderful, marvelous time rejoining Jonas Deguerre and his co-hosts, Dan and Magnus, on the Weekly Antidote. This is a show that I appeared on for the first time back in January or February of this year. It is a wildly popular, I believe I've called it, radio program based in Sweden. And as you know, I had this experience of filming a part for a reality television that was aired on the biggest television network in Sweden earlier this year. We filmed it last fall and got on the radar of these gentlemen, and we've been working in cooperation with one another ever since. But I was on their show in January, February, and I found out when I made my encore appearance a few days ago as their guest that show that I'd been on earlier this year broke their record for the most, the show that had been most downloaded. Over 23,000 people have listened to this show that I was a guest on since it aired live. And that, of course, isn't even counting those who were tuned in live the night that it was originally broadcast. So I want you to think about that, folks, for a moment and put it into a proper context. So here we are. I'm on this show with great guys, just given a red carpet welcome. And we talked about matters of substance. We talked about white identity. We talked about the issues that make this show run. Racial consciousness, racial realities, immigration, all of the things that we talk about on the Political Cesspool, I talked about on the Weekly Antidote. It's been downloaded over 23,000 times. That is the equivalent of giving a speech to a sold-out NBA arena. And that's just one interview. So when you begin to factor in the number of people that the Political Cesspool reaches week in and week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, certainly you start with the show itself, our show, the Political Cesspool, and our reach and what we've built up in our own audience. And then you have to factor in the different outlets that have covered our work. And then you factor in the different venues where we've had the opportunity to appear as a guest. And then here again, this one interview, 23,000 people. And I'm telling you, these guys are right on the money. And it's just so rewarding to be able to work with compatriots and brothers in Europe And to know that we have such a wide following in Northern Europe and up there in Scandinavia, I was a guest again, I guess it was Monday or Tuesday of this week, just a couple of days ago. And from what I hear, the audience just really appreciated it. The audience was all about it. I was on for an hour and a half talking about Ferguson as their guest, talking about the issue in Nevada with Clive and Bundy and then other things. And then after the show ended, they have this special thing for people who pay for extra access with the guest of the day. And I was the guest. And after the show went off air, we continued on with those who had paid to hear a little bit more behind the scenes and ask their questions of me. And it was just great. I mean, it felt like a true celebrity interview, I guess you would think. They asked, you know, my favorite actors, my favorite movies, you know, what hairstyling products I use and things of that nature. But it was just, I'm telling you, and all kidding aside, it was just great. And it's great to know that there are right-thinking people all around the world that are tuned into our issues, that know about the political cesspool. See, that's the thing. I mean, to go on a radio program in Sweden, you would think that no one would have ever heard of us before, potentially. But of course, you know, if you're a regular listener of this show, that we do have a fan base around the world, wherever our people live. And there is a great following of the political cesspool in Sweden and in Northern Europe, thanks to the work of the host of the Weekly Antidote. They have been promoting our show for a long, long time via their website. And their website, by the way, is one of the most popular in the world, not just in Sweden, but in the world. Huge following up there. And it's great to be working with people like that. And they've done a great job in building a presence for us there. And in fact, I certainly had the honor of being told that what we have done here for the last 10 years on this show in some way inspired them to begin their own work and their own program. And certainly now it has just grown by leaps and bounds. It's just a huge show. And it's just a wonderful experience. So without repeating myself again, go to the website, go to our website. You can listen to that interview in its entirety. And I got to say how impressed I was that, you know, English is not their native tongue in Sweden. I mean, obviously Swedish is. And so you're listening to them do this show in Swedish, and then I come on and they switch flawlessly to English, the likes of which I can't even speak as well. I mean, they're more proficient in English than I am. And not just the hosts are able to be that talented and multilingual. Their audience can listen to an interview in Swedish. They can listen to it in English, and it doesn't matter. They're equally proficient. It just blew me away. Certainly, I don't have that kind of intelligence. But do listen to the interview. And also, I had the opportunity to be a guest on Richard Spencer's podcast for Radix Journal earlier this week. So that's just a couple of interviews between the last two installments of the Political Cesspool. So I'm out there doing the job most Americans refuse to do. That's tell the truth. That's tackle these sensitive subjects and provide leadership on these issues. And to be able to work with people who appreciate that. I mean, you should have heard the way I was introduced. You know, you don't see this in American media. Here we are on this very, very big outlet over there across the pond. And I was introduced as James Edwards, host of the beloved Political Cesspool. That sounds more like it. That sounds about right. Folks, those interviews are available on our website. When we come back, we're going to sink our teeth into, the political cesspool right after this. We're going to get to the news.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells. But as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now's the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3666. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back, and let us now welcome my good friend and brother, Keith Alexander. I won't go into a lot of details here. Keith knows some of the behind-the-scenes stories, but I have had a rare week, to say the least, and one of the casualties of this week was the normal cherished time that I have to visit with Keith and plan for the show. So we have done absolutely no prep for this first hour. We're going to do it raw, if you will, but I'm going to throw Keith some softballs and see if we can get it over the fence. What do you say, Keith?
Let's try it.
All right. Well, here we go. The first one. If you've seen the blog this week, I apologize for that as well. You probably got nauseous. I put up a commercial on there that I saw with my wife and daughter. We were watching very basic cable, not HBO, not Showtime, not MTV, nothing raunchy, just very basic primetime television. I believe it was just, you know, NBC. And this commercial comes on. And it's a commercial for Nabisco Honeymade products like Teddy Grahams and so on and so forth. And it starts off with this little baby being held by his father and, you know, nice soothing music. And then you see come into the frame another man kissing the head of the child. So obviously this is a homosexual family. And the ad says, "Today we celebrate all families, working moms to two moms, stay-at-home dads to single dads, adopted kids to surrogate kids. Honeymaid recognizes that the reality of family has changed, but the wholesome connections that all families share will endure." And at the end of this commercial, you see this homosexual couple, these two sodomite men holding their kids as they wave in front of their nice manicured lawn. And, of course, they're dressed very well, and they look smart and sophisticated and people you would want to be. And this is what's being presented, Keith, as wholesome. They tie in the word wholesome to this image as if that's wholesome. Now, there's a lot of adjectives I would use to describe this scene: disgusting, perverted, immoral. But I'd have to go pretty far down the list to find wholesome in the terms I would use to describe this. But really, Keith, I guess all you can say is that the muzzle has been taken off. I mean, certainly even in commercials we've seen with Cheerios and others, they try to glorify miscegenation. But to showcase a homosexual, quote-unquote, family in this way and then to tie it into the word wholesome is really something even I've never seen before.
Well, I've got two words in reply to that. Boycott Nabisco. That's really about the only thing that will get their attention. We've said before that the only sound a liberal truly fears is the sound of a closing purse. And we've got to let all of these elites in the media, in the advertising agencies, and in these big companies know that they may be trying to take us into a brave new world, but we insist upon living according to God's law. You know, it is so incredible. I remember when I was a child, divorce was virtually unheard of. Divorce and adultery are almost virtues compared to what we are seeing now presented as mainstream. You know, we have substituted God's law for anything between consenting adults is all right. So, you know, I guess a couple in which one partner commits adultery ought to be congratulating themselves that they're at least heterosexual. You know, this is, if you can, how in the world can you, you know, say that you are godly or wholesome when you embrace a lifestyle that God consistently describes as an abomination? How can you not feel guilt about that? In fact, we're shown by this majority culture that is being forced upon all of us that somehow you're supposed to feel very good about yourself because you are committing an abomination in the eyes of God. This is the most incredible thing. I would never have imagined that things could have gone south so fast in American culture. You know, 20, 30 years ago, if someone told you that we were going to have a serious debate about gay marriage and about mainstreaming the gay lifestyle, they would have laughed at you. They would have said, you know, that's almost like, you know, we're going to mainstream bestiality. You know, I really wonder where they're going to go with this next, James. It's anybody's guess.
Well, you cringe to even consider the prospects, but this has been totally, you know, I remember the first time you ever saw the sin of homosexuality being glamorized, and that was with, I guess, Ellen's first show, Ellen DeGenerate. Not her talk show that we all know, but she was on a sitcom back in the mid to late 90s that was really the first major homosexual that you saw being glorified
portrayed
in mainstream media, portrayed as such. But yeah, I mean, it's gone by quickly. It's happened quickly. This change has happened much more quickly than some of the other radical egalitarian movements. It's all been completely orchestrated by the media. I mean, you certainly go, as you know, in state after state, this gets voted down in a landslide in every single state, just about, and a judge will overrule it, and the media aids and abets all of this. But it just goes to show, though, Keith, of course we know who owns and operates and controls the media, so you understand why this is occurring. But what I can't understand is, other than just to force this down your throat as a social construct, why these companies, these, you know, like Honeymaid here, Nabisco, would cater to that? I mean, how many so-called homosexual families are there? I mean, there's not very many. How many homosexuals are there? I mean, it's in the single digits. Why devote 100% of a commercial to such a small portion of the population? That can't make good business sense, can it?
Well, it doesn't make good business sense if people react, if the straight community reacts in the way that the gay community would be if they were to make a gay bashing commercial. In other words, if we would get up in arms about it and boycott Nabisco, then you might see a change. But you're not going to see a change as long as everybody just decides that it's, you know, let's go along, get along, let's, you know, stop trying to, you know, push against the currents of social change, and let's just accept it, because there's some type of price to be paid in terms of political correctness if you don't. You know, this type of passivity is something that I saw brought into sharp contrast this week. I went to a seminar that was attended for the most part with young lawyers that are members of these large, big corporate firms. And I was absolutely stunned at the, you know, the passivity, the kind of unmanliness of the males that were at that particular seminar, and the, you know, likewise the kind of blandness of the female. It's like everybody is doing their best to give that, an imitation of being a weenie. You know, we've got to get people that, you know, have proper values and do not shrink from clashes in the culture war, or else we're doomed as a culture. We're doomed as a civilization, James, in my opinion.
Well, Keith, no, you're exactly right. The minorities, whether it be homosexual or racial minorities, the chronic malcontents, they will allow themselves to be organized and throw a temper tantrum or a fit of rage over some perceived injustice. But what we do, what the moral majority does, what Christians do, is we will go and vote. And hey, man, if we vote and we lose, well, we gave it our all, and that's all we can do is vote. Well, it's going to take a lot more than going to the polls in a losing effort every time to feel as though you've done your civic duty. We should be up in arms about this. We absolutely should be up in arms about this. I mean, I was sitting there, 7 o'clock, this commercial comes on. My daughter's there with us. Thank God she didn't see this commercial. I'm sure she would have asked why two men were holding hands and kissing, you know, on a commercial. You know, we saw this with Michael Sams, too, on ESPN having this makeout session. I mean, any child could have seen that. If she'd have seen that, I would have been forced at 4 years old to explain to her what a sodomite is.
It's just, and, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction, James.
Well, we got to take a break, my friend. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I regret, ladies and gentlemen, that we can only take advantage of the vast intellect of Keith Alexander for one more segment this evening. We're going to get together for lunch next week and get this thing back on an even keel. Of course, Keith was with us for 3 hours last week. Winston had this commentary prepared that he had written and put a lot of time into. But at the last minute, his transcriptionist, the person who makes him available to us, had an emergency. All things are good now. Winston will be back with us tonight for the second hour, trying to work everybody in on Ferguson before it becomes stale. But Keith, there's two subjects, if we have enough time in this segment, that I'd like to get your take on. First of all, and they all have nothing to do with one another, so we're going to bounce around here for a second. Man crosses the border dressed as Osama bin Laden. So just to go to show and to prove to us all, for once and for all, what a joke our so-called border security is. I mean, America spends, what, trillions of dollars on defense, and it's got the most porous border of probably any country in the world. If there is a country with more porous borders, I couldn't really imagine it. Maybe you can equal that level of degeneration, but you couldn't surpass it. But investigative filmmaker James O'Keefe exposed the vulnerability of the U.S.-Mexico's border this week, Keith, by filming himself dressed as Osama bin Laden. So he's in these, military fatigues with an Osama bin Laden mask on. He crosses this little ditch that separates America from Mexico and walks in onto U.S. soil from Mexico, addressed as Osama bin Laden, and of course no one arrests him because there's no one there at all. It's just wide open country. What do you say about that? What can you say about that? And we got the video of it on our website if anybody wants to see this.
It's time to start calling things by their proper names, or as Grandma used to say, to call a spade a dirty shovel. Our nation is run by a treasonous elite that cares nothing about the founding stock of America or, lawful American citizens of any background. They are globalists who believe that borders of any type and barriers of any type, barriers to trade, barriers to the movement of people, are obsolete and need to be ignored. And they intend, I've always said that the end game of liberalism is globalism. Globalism is an invitation for tyranny. If you think that your vote counts for next to nothing in a national, federal, U.S. election, imagine how little your vote will count in a global election. Basically, they can tell you that it turned out any way that they want it to, and you're stuck with it. We've basically got the same result here with these diebold voting machines that have basically taken over in election commission offices throughout the nation. We're basically the sheeple now, and we have to take anything that our elites choose to dish out to us. We have no means to even prove that an election was stolen or fraudulent. We have, we apparently have nothing to expend except impotent rage at the fact that our governing elite refused to enforce our laws. We have plenty of laws in place that would stop illegal immigration. All they need to do is be enforced, but when you have a government run by treasonous elites that will not enforce the law for the benefit of the citizenry of the nation, then you cease to have a nation state, and that's where we are. That pure and simple.
Well, Keith, you hit the nail. When you hit the nail on the head, you drive it straight, as you like to say, my friend. And there's not much I can add to that except to say I love videos like this. It's one thing to hear us talking about the porous borders on the radio. It's one thing to read about it in print. But when you see videos like this, we had a video a couple of months ago, Charlie LaDuff of Fox News Detroit. He's down there. He's filming coyotes bringing over illegal aliens on jet skis in broad daylight coming across the Rio Grande. This guy found a place, this journalist found a place where he could just walk over it, where the river wasn't as wide. And he's dressed as Osama bin Laden, who we are told by the regime was, you know, the greatest terrorist of the 20th century or 21st century, whatever. Whether or not you buy that or not, 9/11 could have been an inside job. But if it wasn't, it was because we have border security like this. And but it just goes to show, really, really brings it into sharp focus. Hey, this is a guy, supposedly the biggest terrorist. Now, I know he's supposed to be dead and everything, but this guy's dressed like him to make a point, and he makes a great point. There's no border security. Anybody could be coming over with any intentions whatsoever. Now, Keith, let me ask you
and
about
this. See, our military is no longer trying to stop incursions by illegal aliens or to protect our borders at all. They have been co-opted by global government, UN and others, to be the police force to enforce the edicts and to control the masses for the benefit of one world government. That's the long and the short of it, unfortunately. It's just absolutely, it's incredible how America has been transformed during my lifetime.
Well, it's absolutely right. I mean, I was born in 80, so not as old as you, but it's still seen a radical, radical change, and it's only getting worse. But we're here to talk about it, and through talking about it, hopefully we can stoke the embers long enough for a grassroots rebellion to catch fire. Let me ask you about this. Now, I was going to talk about the death, really the suicide of Robin Williams last week until Ferguson dominated the coverage here on this program. Provocative post put up by Ramsey Paul. Now, people say, well, what are you going to talk about Robin Williams for? He was a liberal. Well, he probably was. He lived in Hollywood. I don't know his politics, but I'm sure they were probably left of center. But he made a couple of good movies, and he was relatively funny as far as it goes. But he did commit suicide. Now, obviously, he had to have some sort of an inner demon or mental illness to an extent. But there was an interesting article that was written that basically says the California court system killed Robin Williams. And Ramsey Paul says that if you read between the lines, you can see that financial troubles imposed by the California courts were a contributing factor in the death of Robin Williams. While he seemed to want to retire and enjoy his old age, the courts dictated that he had to continue to work to maintain the lifestyle of his ex-wives. So basically, Keith, what you have here, and listen, I'm a defender of women. I love women. They're beautiful, delicate creatures. They should be taken care of by men. But there's no doubt about it. Divorce in this country heavily skews towards women, almost to the point where it would make an objective male think twice before entering to the institution. And so Robin Williams, when he gets divorced, he has to pay his wife's alimony based upon the standard of living they were accustomed to at that time. And so they were forcing him basically to make Mrs. Doubtfire 2, a sequel to that 1994 comedy, which was a pretty good movie. But he didn't want to make movies anymore. I mean, he's getting old. And they say that that, along with other factors, contributed to his death. Do you think that that's possible, Keith? And is there anything there that interests you at all?
Well, it's possible because one of the main projects of the left was the destruction of the nuclear family. And they've done that through radical feminism. They've done it through no-fault divorce laws. And they have done it through doing away with any semblance of justice regarding who gets custody of children and who pays how much. You can be guilty of the most flagrant misconduct, adultery, homosexual adultery, whatever. That's not even relevant anymore in a court of law. What is relevant is that the male is going to pay through the nose. You know, we have all this, you know, women's rights and women's equality, and they get preference, affirmative action for jobs and for positions of authority, power, and wealth in our society. But in the eyes of the divorce courts, it's still 1950, and every woman is June Cleaver, and every man is Ward Cleaver. And he's got to pay to maintain, you know, the standard of living of women. Now, I don't know if that was the situation with Robin Williams. What I think probably happened was that, like most people that succeed in Hollywood, Robin Williams was a narcissist. And as his career started to subside, and he wasn't the center of attention anymore, he had trouble coping with it. You know, that's
well, that could very listen, that could very well be
In Hollywood.
That could very well be the case. I mean, there's no doubt about that, and I'm not positioning him to be this victim here. I mean, certainly he had problems with drug abuse and other things, and I'm not saying that this entirely contributed to his decision there to take his own life, but it could have played a role. Who's to say? I mean, financial troubles will certainly wear on a man, I can tell you that. But and certainly this isn't directed towards the fine women of our audience who respect proper gender roles, if you will. I mean, but it should also be pointed out, as everyone well knows, if you wanted to take advantage of the feminist movement and use it to your quote-unquote gain in the job market or to get an upper hand on men, that position exists out there. Thankfully, certainly, the women in our audience are more honorable than that. But, it goes without saying that these scenarios.
Well, let me tell you, for any man or woman to get married in today's world is an incredible leap of faith, because our society is prepared to pounce and punish those who do.
Well, that's absolutely right, and certainly a nuclear family, man, woman, and child, is something that's very much frowned upon, and they're doing everything they can to destroy it. Keith, thanks so much tonight, my friend. I'll give you a call after the show, and we'll get it all 5x5 next week. Scoop Stanton, okay. Standing by.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, this could be. We have put ourselves in a position in the past to realize this very rare occurrence, but tonight it looks as though the stars are in alignment and that it just may very well happen. This could be one of those awfully rare instances in which you hear from each member of the political cesspool staff in the same night on the same show. So that would be me, Keith, Eddie, Winston, obviously correspondent Scoop Stanton, and then to top it all off with the cherry on top, Liberty News Radio owner Sam Bushman, and a special guest Jared Taylor. Folks, that doesn't happen very often. We got one down. Keith called in right on time and punched the clock for his two segments this evening. Now we've got Scoop on the line. We got to keep this train a-chugging. Scoop, what do you got for us tonight?
Evening, Cesspool family. First off, I like to say, don't worry, kids. Pretty soon, the bumper music for yours truly will be changing soon. So we're going to have something more contemporary so you young people can really dig it.
Yeah, that's contingent upon Art Frith. See, there's a lot of moving parts in our operation here, and with our budget, to keep them all well oiled is sometimes a task. But we're gonna get Art to Scoop earned his own bumper music. As I said last week, he put in such a great effort while Keith was out of town. Really stepped up above and beyond the call of duty with all of these great guests that he booked and just fine work all the way around. We're gonna reward him by allowing him to pick his very own bumper music. So we're going to have to cut a Frankie Valli bumper. You know, I don't like to do that, folks, but hey, when you earn it, you earn it.
Yep, and I think I've earned it. Thank you very much. But back to the cesspool. Unfortunately, last week we were unable to talk about what I wanted to talk about. That was the 20th anniversary of NAFTA. If you go on YouTube, type in Charlie LaDuff, NAFTA 20th anniversary, he does a story about NAFTA. 20 years ago, the Congress passed a law creating the North American Free Trade Agreement. And then presidential candidate Ross Perot said, well, if this thing goes into law, you're going to hear a giant sucking sound going south of the border. So anyways, how bad is this law? This law is so bad that both then-President Bill Clinton and Rush Limbaugh endorsed it. And so yours truly, being a very young, wet-behind-the-ears man, said, oh, this sounds good, because if Rush Limbaugh says it's good, then it must be good. Boy, was he wrong. Our favorite reporter, Charlie Duff, went down to Mexico to report on the status of NAFTA. Delphi, which made parts for the General Motors Corporation, used to have 50,000 people working in Michigan. The NAFTA came along, Delphi went out of business, and then they built factories in Mexico. They have almost 50,000 employees in Delphi, Mexico. But it's not all peaches and cream down in Mexico, because the average Delphi employee makes about $1.50 per hour. Even though the cost of living in Mexico is dirt cheap, that's still slave wages. So the end result is we still have millions upon millions of Mexicans crossing the border illegally, because if they work under the table for $4 or $5 an hour in a restaurant, they still have a better quality of life if they work at Delphi. Now, the end result also is not only felt in Michigan, but Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and my old home state, New York. Here is a listing off the top of my head of some of the companies that either shut down, closed operation, or have a skeleton crew. General Motors, Tarrytown, New York. IBM, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, New York. Miller Brewing, Fulton, New York. General Electric, Schenectady, New York. General Electric, Utica, New York. Carrier Air Corporation, Syracuse, New York. Xerox, Rochester, New York. Kodak, Rochester, New York. Corning Glassware, Corning, New York. Brother Typewriter, also in the Corning area. And that's just to name a few. Hillary Clinton ran for Congress back in 2000, promising 100,000 jobs to New York. And what happened was she got elected and 200,000 jobs left New York because of NAFTA. The Empire State has an excellent school system, has an excellent secondary school system with New York University, Columbia University, Fordham, Manhattan College, Colgate, Cornell, also a great city university system and state university system. So what happens is that these kids go to college, get a good education, and move out of town. Where are they moving to? Right here in the Washington, D.C. area. Why do they move to the D.C. area? Because of the government job, you're going to get paid every 2 weeks. You have job security. You have better benefits than the private sector, and there's no other jobs available. So the end result is that you have thousands and thousands of people moving to D.C. every year. So now the cost of housing is going up, cost of gasoline has been going up, traffic is actually horrendous. And also the federal government is the only industry that takes money either by threat of force or the threat of putting people in jail. Also, the federal government is the only industry that prints their own currency. So I, too, think after for 20 years of just ruining this country. Back to you in the studio.
I mean this in all sincerity. God bless you, Scoop, because that was an important story that you brought back into the spotlight here on the Political Cesspool tonight. So obvious, you know, 20 years of NAFTA. You know, everybody knows about NAFTA. Pat Buchanan, it was a big issue in his campaigns in 96 and, of course, 2000. But so often our people, we get over certain rapes, and I'll use the word rape because certainly NAFTA has raped that particular aspect of our national infrastructure and our country. But we get used to that. We get used to losing this particular battle, and we just move on to the next raping that is coming our way, and the lines continually get redrawn, whether it be on foreign policy or border control or NAFTA, which obviously deals heavily with trade and manufacturing and consumerism and things of that nature, social issues. When you are fighting a retreating battle on all fronts, which let's make no mistake about it, we are. Yeah, I am seeing there is reason for hope. I am seeing a renaissance in many ways on people becoming more honest on racial realities. Certainly the popularity of this program continues to grow. You know, I can't say that the popularity of the Political Cesspool has ever reached its zenith, because to have reached a zenith means you've reached a point from which you begin to descend. And you say, well, that point was our zenith. We have not reached a zenith yet, because we continue to have a greater and greater profile. We continue to grow in prominence. We continue to build a larger audience. So we're on an upward trajectory. So there are things with which we can invest a little hope in. But ultimately, and certainly in investing that hope, you hope that things will turn around and you'll be able to build upon these positive trends, and at some point the rudder will begin to turn. But as a whole, certainly we are fighting a retreating front on all lines, and I mentioned some of the lines that we've talked about. And after a battle has been lost apparently for so long, we forget about it. When's the last time we've talked about NAFTA? NAFTA is something that hurts us every day. It hurts us as much today as it did 15 years ago, 20 years ago. But we don't talk about it anymore. And I'm not just saying us. It's just human nature. You talk about the battle here and now, and not one that has been lost a long time ago that doesn't seem as though it's going to change. But we should remember these battles, and we shouldn't give up on anything. We should never concede an inch to our enemies. And so that being said, and to come full circle, thank you, Scoop, for bringing that back to our attention. Certainly the 20th anniversary of the implementation of NAFTA is an ominous anniversary in our country's history, and I don't know how many people were talking about it in recent days.
Well, it was us and Charlie Duff, of course. Because everybody else is worried about Michael Sam or the Kardashians or Jay-Z and Beyonce, or, you know, just stuff that doesn't matter. But, you know, as soon as they try to put gasoline in their foreign-made cars, then, oh, my God, the whole world's coming to an end.
Yeah, right. I've read about that. But that was good. Right. And certainly it would have been great to have put it in last week, which would have been a little more closer to the actual anniversary. But, you know, we only have a show once a week, so we do what we can with the time we got. And obviously what was going on in Ferguson was big news, but I'm glad we were able to work that on. You got anything else for us? About a minute to go?
Yep, real quickly, sports report. Seventh round pick for the St. Louis Rams, Michael Sam, has been dropped. And now when asked what he's
really
going to do next, he said he's going to go to the L.A. Kiss. And they said, to play arena football? Oh, they got arena football out in Los Angeles? But it was unknown what what him and his significant other were doing. But my question is that which one's the pitcher, which one's the catcher? Another sports analogy is that his boyfriend was a swimmer. Another question is that when he goes swimming, how does he maintain watertight integrity? Back to you, James.
Oh, God, I'm not even going to touch that one, but I am interested to know. I didn't see that on the ticker this week. So, he, you know, he actually got a tackle in one of these preseason games, and you would have thought it was like the sports play of the century. Michael Sam's actually tackled, or he got a sack. He sacked a quarterback, and you would have thought it was just the biggest sports news story in the history of competition. But apparently it wasn't enough to keep his job, and I'm sure that the St. Louis Rams are going to be dodging accusations of homophobia for not keeping a substandard player on their roster just because he was a homosexual. Well, I got one more story that has nothing to do with anything Scoop's been talking about, but I don't know if we're going to have time to work it in. Well, maybe we'll work it in the next hour. A black mob nearly beat a white man to death in retaliation for Michael Brown. That's the headline. We'll talk about it more. Jared Taylor is going to take us back to Ferguson right after this. Scoop, thanks so much for your contributions tonight. We'll talk to you next
Another
week.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.